Hey, everybody, welcome back to another conversation here at the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. My name is Jeremy McDonald, and I want to give you a little inside scoop on what this conversation today is all about. For any of you that have been listening for any length of time, you've probably caught on that this particular podcast is hosted by those of us at the Youth Worker Community. We're an organization across our country of Canada where we do events, we do some national research projects, we put together some digital resources, and one of the things that we do each and every year is equip and train a youth workers at the bachelor's and master's level through our school called The Coalition. And so this particular conversation that you're going to get to hear is actually a snippet from one of the classes. Sid Koop is the professor. He was the one teaching this particular week of class. And we're going to dive into a short bit from his class, because I think this is, even though he is speaking to a room full of vocational youth workers, this is going to be valuable for all of us that are in youth ministry, whether or not you're paid or you're the point person. Maybe you're a volunteer, maybe you're new to ministry. I think the word that he's going to give about this calling that we have and the scripture that he's going to unpack in inviting how we understand how Jesus invites the kids to come to him, I think it's going to be valuable for us. So we wanted to give you a chance to hear this, but then also, if you didn't realize, we do have this school. This is, again, an opportunity for youth workers from across our country and even beyond to be able to tune in and be a part of cohorts that learn together over the course of 2 years. The Coalition is an academically accredited program at a number of institutions. So we've got academic partners across Canada and also in the U.S. as well. And so if you're looking for a way to learn more about ministry, youth ministry in particular, while also doing it, the whole purpose of this program is that you would never leave your local context. Every person that's in the program, they're already doing youth ministry at least 30 hours a week, but most of them, this is their full-time job. And on the side, they're completing a bachelor's degree, or throughout the course of the 2 years, you can actually get an entirely accredited, fully formed Master of Arts degree. And so if you want to learn a little bit more about that, we've got the links in the show notes, and you can, of course, reach out anytime to hear a little bit more about it. But this is going to give you a snippet from one of our professors, Sid Koop, as he dives into a day two of his particular class at the Coalition.
Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Two passages, you guys, that I, for me, when I'm thinking about passing faith on to the next generation and our responsibility, would be in Mark chapter 10. So why don't we crack the scriptures for a second? Let's go Mark 10 and verse 13. I think it's Psalm 78 is also like, that one's a really beautiful passage. When I think about there, Deuteronomy 6, of course, is key. There's a number of them, of course, throughout. But I camp in Mark chapter 10 quite a bit. And I want to just quickly look at verses 13 to 15 today. And what I wanna just give, just from the Devo, is remind us again in terms of the sense of importance, the sense of importance in the work that we're involved in, you guys. So, when I think about your role here and in ministry, a couple thoughts come to my mind. First of all, we want to continue to do a better job of, or we want to continue to fight to be better gospel-centered leaders when it comes to passing faith to the next generation. And when I'm talking about leaders, we're talking about both your character and your competency, not just competency in terms of like executing to students, but leading teams, thinking broadly about the ministry, thoughtfully, theologically. And then, of course, your character is central to the whole journey as well. So we want to continue to grow. Like, we're unapologetic about wanting all of us to grow as leaders. I want to be really clear on that. And again, I said it yesterday that, like, for some of us, the Lord will call us to a youth work that maybe is 10 to 15 kids. And that is, like, worthy and beautiful and right, and you should embrace that. Let me be really clear. That's a life well lived. But I want to make sure that we are also preparing and equipping you, if the Lord should so move, to lead broader than that. like to continue to be able to scale even beyond that and figure out how can we be faithful with that as well. So we want to push your leadership in that area and deal well and wisely with the complexities that we're living in. So we want to definitely deal well and wisely with that. I want to acknowledge that there's a few reasons why your leadership development is important in this sense then. Number one is because the work with our students requires it. They're wading through a complex space that's unique to anything I've seen in my short, like 25 years of youth ministry. And that's a short time of youth ministry compared to, you know, the broader scope of history, of course. But this is complex and different and uniquely challenging. So we need to be like more thoughtful. We need to think better. We need to even wrestle. Like, we have to be able to do a better job of analyzing, you know, the systems and structures and architect we've been working with, to ask ourselves, is a better way to shape the way we're doing things to more effectively do ministry. And it's not just about my relationship with a kid, that's huge, but it's also about the way that I structure and equip and prepare others to do this work in this ministry as well. So we embrace that type of complexity. That's important. The second reason why I think your leadership growth is important is because if we want to go deeper, and so go deeper with our kids, go broader, engage more kids, and do it in a sustainable way, then we're going to have to build teams. And you're going to have to build teams. And in order to build teams, again, your leadership is going to need to grow and be challenged. Third, my prayer is that your leadership and your character both, and both actually have to be developed, would grow in such a way that within your organization, even if you would stay in your current role, your value to the organization would be so seen that you would continue to be invited to leadership tables in that space, so that now you would contribute to the organizational systems and structures that could actually affect ministry to the next generation as well. Does that make sense? Now, I want to just pause here for a second. Your character and your competency both are going to be necessary to be invited to that table, but especially your character. And I'm going to actually say to you right now that I don't think God's going to allow you to that table unless you allow him to shape your character. And that's mostly in the area of humility. It's just not going to happen. That makes sense. And if it does happen, if you're not allowing God to shape your character trait of humility, you're not going to stay at that table very long. You certainly won't be effective. Okay? And God will do the hard work of shaping us through those spaces. So we want to do what we can to put you in a place where you'll be invited into that space so that you can contribute to the overall workings of your organization and also specifically advocate for the work to the next gen. Now, let me just say this, by the way. This is my ADD aside, if I could, for a second. If you can't have a vision for the good of the whole organization that you're involved in, and if you only advocate for the area that you're directly responsible for, you will not stay at that lead table for very long. And you shouldn't. Make sense? You have to come with an open hand and a vision for the greater good of the whole, not just for your own space. And if you do that, then you will be able to advocate for the area that you're responsible for, and you'll be able to contribute in a really wonderful way and contribute back down. And again, the goal is to get to that space so you can shape both the culture and the ethos of the org for what God's called you to next. And then finally, my prayer is that, you know, God would use this space to continue to shape your leadership capacities, so that one day when you're called out of your current position that you're in, and you may move on to a different type of leadership, even more broad in your organization, and you'll have direct ownership of more than just like Next Gen Ministries, you will carry on your heart for that, because you will believe at the very foundation, passing faith on to the next generation is still probably the most important thing we can do. And so you'll use that space to advocate for that still. And at that point, you will be able to change the culture of organizations and the systems and structures of organizations to actually make an even greater difference. So there's a really high call, you know, in terms of like what our vision is for what you're doing here. Okay. So the reason I say that is I think it's okay for many of us to move on from direct youth ministry work into other areas while our heart for passing faith on to the next generation remains. Okay. But having said that, I just want to take a quick moment and take a look at some of Christ's words here to say that if you choose to stay directly working with the next generation and whatever your org is, if that's where you choose to stay or have the opportunity to stay, I want you to hear from Jesus that that's good work. Does that make sense? That you can die doing this and go, that's a life really well lived. Because Jesus seems to think it's pretty important. Okay? So in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. So Jesus' ministry is pretty big. People are gathering at this point in time. It's still fairly early in the journey. And so there's a lot happening. And people are bringing children to Jesus so he can touch them. They want kids to get to Jesus. They know that Jesus somehow changes their lives and loves them. Okay. I think it's in Luke, it says the parents are trying to get their kids to Jesus. So whether it's just the general people or the parents, the older people are trying to get their kids to Jesus, he can touch them. And then it says, and the disciples rebuked them. And the word rebuked is a really strong word. It's like being angry. It's like chastising. It's really letting them have it. So the disciples see these people trying to get their kids to Jesus. It's kind of disturbing the plan. And they begin to rebuke the people for bringing their kids to Jesus. But then when Jesus saw it, it says that he was indignant. Hey, when in scriptures do we see Jesus get really angry? What are some moments? What's that in the temple? Yeah. Which is, by the way, if you really pause and think about it, it's like totally nuts. Like it's just crazy what the dude does in that space, right? We know that. Okay, when else?
When he heals that guy and then he gets upset with the Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does get ticked at the Pharisees a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does it on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees get after him for doing work on the Sabbath. And then he says to them, well, would you pull the cow out of that, like, if you got lost in the ditch? So he's challenging their hypocrisy. He constantly challenges their hypocrisy. When else? I suspect when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, there was probably a little bit of a feeling like, I think Jesus is a little fired up right now. I think that my guess is that would be the case. I just need Jen to look at me sideways, and I'm like, hey, Lazarus' story is interesting. If you take a look at the kind of the language around where his emotional disposition is towards Lazarus, we actually see a type of anger there. And you would think, like, what I've historically said about that one was he was angry because death is the enemy, and so he's angry at death, even though he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But if you actually look at the narrative, the response seems to indicate that his anger isn't primarily focused at death. It's focused on the lack of belief from the people that are in that environment. Because they say to him, if only you would have been here sooner, you could have done something. And the implication is you're too late. You can't now. And he's like, you don't even know me. You don't even know me. You think I can't now? Watch this. You know what I mean? The other time he gets upset is when people try to keep kids from coming to him. Gets really, really indignant, it says here. Okay, so here's the implication for me, you guys. What are the things or areas in our ministries, in our lives, in our organizations that could keep children from coming to Jesus that he might get indignant over? And you should actually work personal to organizational. Do you know what I mean? What are the personal things that you go? And we prayed it through yesterday when we talked about shepherding God's flock. What are the things that we need to be really aware of when it comes? What's motivating us? How are we going about it? Is there integrity in our journey? You know, so one of the things that I'm just doing is going, Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering, you know, kids from coming to you? And I think there's an important, humble disposition that we should take as leaders to go, Father, I'm really open to that. Okay. I think that there's important parts of us as leaders that should ask the question about our architecture, systems, and structures. Are there things in our systems and structures that might be keeping our kids from coming to Jesus? So here was the one for me. I just remember coming to a point where and you got to be careful with something like this, but it was pretty important to me, where I was a little frustrated that my leaders didn't want to do my program. Do you know what I mean? Like, we designed a pretty good program in our youth group, and all of a sudden our leaders are like, hey, Sid, the game at the front end kind of sucks for my senior high girls. Remember when that small group leader came and told me that? Her name was Jen, by the way. She happened to be my wife, so there was a conversation. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, wait a second. Like, I'm not here to serve my program or structures, and neither is she, right? We're here to do mission. And so then we could also have this conversation and go, oh, actually, I guess, like, that first 20 minutes where we do the game seems to work for about 75% of our students, but it's not working for you, and we're actually about you discipling kids. So how could we shift that? She goes, well, it'd be way better if I could meet at Tim Hortons with my girls first. And that would be awesome for a non-threatening environment where they could bring their friends and we could connect. And I'm like, yeah, why not? A little bit riskier for me. It's hard on my plan to protect. I got to solve that and wrestle with that. But I said, could you be there for like our teaching time and worship time? Because that's pretty key. And also the way that that older group influences that. What can we do? So all of a sudden I was like, shoot. I think I was frustrated by the inconvenience that was being caused by my system and structure being challenged, but actually that was hindering the opportunity to get these kids to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to hold that with an open hand. What can I do with that? Do you know what I mean? Man, there's so much humility and challenge in putting ourselves in a position where we don't hinder kids from coming to Christ, even when it comes to systems and structures. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this character that's so involved there. Okay. So we evaluate that. We evaluate our culture. Is there something in our culture that we need to address because it's hindering our kids from coming to Jesus? There's like real complexity that requires wisdom, but we're actually about something more. We don't want to hinder kids from coming to Jesus. So we wrestle with this. So you as leaders should be about, what does that look like? And then Jesus says to them, it says, Jesus was indignant. Oh, by the way, and he says, let the children come to me and don't hinder them. Now, here's the next level of complexity in this. The disciples thought they were helping Jesus' mission, not hindering his mission. Does that make sense? So people were getting in the way of what they thought was the mission. And Jesus says, you don't even know what the mission is. So then that moves me in another place where I have to have another level of humility that says, Lord, I wonder if there's things I'm doing that I think is helping your kingdom work, but might actually be in the way of your kingdom work. Could you reveal that to me? That's another level of humility that's required from us, you guys, if we're going to do this work that God calls us to. So Jesus leans in and he calls them into that space. That's part of what we need to be doing, my friends, in terms of like self-assessment. Great leadership principle, that self-awareness allows for self-assessment, which allows for self-correction. And there's a real maturity in that when we can position ourselves before the Father so the Holy Spirit can do that work in us and we join him in that work. There's something powerful. Okay? Then Jesus goes on and he says this, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Hey, just one more little piece of motivation for the work that you do. I was reading a Devo on this quite a while ago, and the person writing the Devo just said something to the effect of, Christ doesn't only have a missional plan for children. No, wait. Christ doesn't only have a missional plan for us to children. He actually has a missional plan for children to adults. So if you notice what he says here, he says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Not to children, but to such as children belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So there's something that God has ordained to do through children to teach us what it is to enter into the kingdom. So this is the flip side of the journey that we're in, you guys, is not only is our youth ministry about God using us to do something to the next generation, but we're in it because there's something that God wants to do to us through the next generation. He actually has a missional design in children to shape us. There is such a deep level of holiness, you guys, in what we're involved in here. Do you know what I mean? And there is such like a deep working of the Father in terms of his design when it comes to our work with the next generation. And just as we continue to lean into today, I want you to feel that. I want you to feel just the sense of significance in terms of what we're involved with.